Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding edge successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's rockstar achiever.
We are very honored today to have yet another special guest with us, Gene Hamilton, who is the CEO with I Take the Lead. Gene has been involved in Toastmasters, which is a part of a nonprofit communication development organization, for almost 30 years. As a leader of Toastmasters in Oregon, Gene won numerous awards and developed the skills to succeed in business and in life. He has been a Rotarian for 20 years. Rotary is an organization devoted to being of service to humankind and being a part of numerous community betterment projects. In 2000, I Take the Lead was born and is a company devoted to helping people build their business through word-of-mouth advertising. Gene and his business partner started I Take the Lead in Oregon in 2000 and expanded into Washington in 2005 as a franchise company. Gene is responsible for building groups and seeking out franchises. I Take the Lead builds groups in Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Florida with a total of over 100 individual groups in total. Gene and his business partner feel that I Take the Lead is a kinder, gentler leads group organization to help businesses grow. Welcome, Gene. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
So, tell us a little bit about your organization, I Take the Lead.
Well, it was started out of necessity because I was an insurance agent and I needed a leads group, and there are a million insurance agents out there and not very many leads groups, so it was necessary because I couldn't go to anybody else and find one, so I had to start my own. So that's how it came to be, and created a little bit differently than other leads groups, a little more user-friendly, and so that's what we did.
Okay, and how did you go about starting this group?
Just one group at a time, basically. We built Portland up to over 50 groups, and now we have groups in Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and Florida right now, and hoping to grow beyond that as a franchise.
Uh-huh. So are you still in the insurance business, or are you doing this as a full-time thing
for
you?
No. I got out because I had an opportunity. A friend of mine wanted to buy my insurance agency. He was looking for a storefront and a book of business. I could have done it, but it was difficult to run two things at once. So that gave me the seed money to start I Take the Lead as well. So it just seemed like a natural to be able to go ahead and sell it and get out and do this full time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you say that I Take the Lead as a kinder, gentler leads group organization, what do you mean by that?
Good question. Most leads groups are pretty regimented. They're pretty harsh in nature. You know, they're very laser, and you have 30 seconds to do your commercial or 30 seconds to do this or that. And when you're done talking, when your time is up, you're done talking, and okay, you're done. Where with I Take the Lead, I think we're a little more user-friendly. We're a little more conversational. I think we're modeled after Toastmasters, where we're inclusive as opposed to exclusive. Instead of saying, well, we don't want people, we really want people. We want to build a support network, because that's the great thing about Toastmasters is it's great. It's like a net underneath you. If you fall off the high wire, out there to catch you. And so we're there to support each other, be a mastermind, be in a support network in the whole nine yards. So I like it because, you know, to me that is you know, again, it's a kinder, gentler organization. So I like it. Not everybody does, and that's okay. But a lot of people do like that. And that's why that is what attracts them to our organization.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And like you said, not everybody, some may like it, some may not. That's why there are different types of groups out there and different ways that they run it, right?
Exactly.
So what are you most passionate about in your role as the CEO at I Take the Lead?
I think being able to be of service to people, being able to help people, because, you know, having that empathy for people from Toastmasters, where I was scared to death to speak in front of a group and network with people, it's helped me overcome that fear. And I think that's what we do here at I Take the Lead, is that we help people overcome those fears and better themselves. So, I mean, I think when you do that, you really can't go wrong, because you're able to help people, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which is very important. Especially
right.
In this type of organization.
Yeah.
So another question I have is you started this in 2000, 16 years ago. So you've grown quite a bit. You're now in four different states with over 100 individual groups. That sounds like quite a success.
Oh, well, thank you.
So what would you attribute your success to? What do you think helped you get to where you're at?
Well, first of all, I think it's perseverance. You have to keep going. You know, there's always going to be things happening that are unfortunate and unforeseen. And so that's a big deal. But I think probably the biggest thing is having the systems in place. And, you know, I think my partner's done a really good job with that and putting the systems in place. And so that you can rely on that and not have to do that all yourself. Get good people involved. And, you know, some of those people will do a better job than you do. And that's okay, because you're bringing their skills, you know, to help out and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a big thing is not doing it all yourself. That was a big thing for me when I started, was I was doing a lot of the work, and people are happy to let you do all the work, and, you know, but you gotta back off from that. And especially as you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you gotta really let people fail, I guess, and give them an opportunity to, you know, to help, basically. That makes sense.
Mhm. Sure. And you said that you'll bring other people in, and they may do things better than you do, and that sounds like you are, well, you said that you're okay with that. So it apparently you're not threatened by that. And there are a lot of people, especially when it comes to their own business, when people come in and they're better at something than they are, people tend to get defensive. And
right.
And I hear that you do not feel that at all.
No, you got to let people fail, and you got to give people a chance. So, and I think some people you think, oh, they'll never succeed, and then they do, and some people think they'll be great at it, and then they fail. But so you really, really hard to tell a lot of times, but, you know, it's good to give them a chance.
Mm-hmm. What do you think helps or makes the difference between those who fail and those who succeed?
Again, I think it's a couple of things. One is perseverance or persistence, you know, because people quit too soon. You know, the old adage about, I think it was, Henry Ford or whoever said that, or maybe it was Napoleon Hill, I'm not sure, but said, you know, people quit right before they're successful, and, you know, within a few steps of where they would actually be successful. And so they quit too soon. And the other thing is, you know, being able to ask for help, and you know, being coachable, because, you know, not everybody knows everything. And so to say, okay, I'm making a mistake. I know we have that problem with our franchise, that, you know, we've been doing this for years, and we're, you know, we hope that they'll understand that we have a track to run on, but they don't always do that. And then they go out and try things. Well, we've already done that 100 times, and so they don't have to make that mistake. But so if they'll listen to us, and they don't, then they'll be able to avoid that, you know, that pitfall, that landmine. But if they don't, then they figure it out for themselves, you know. So being coachable, I think, is huge.
Mm-hmm. So what I thought of as you were talking about quitting too soon, and this may be what you were referring to in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, and he shares a story about the Darbys and their search for gold, and how they dug and they quit just 3 feet from gold. And so what you're saying really is that you see this a lot in business with the people that you're working with, right? Where they work at it and it gets to where it seems too hard. And then right before they're ready to really take off, that tends to be when a lot of people end up quitting.
Exactly. Yeah. If they just keep going a little bit further, they would find success. And then also people just don't do the work. You know, there's certain things you have to do, but they just aren't willing to do it. And if they're not willing to do it, then they want to blame everybody else, but they really shouldn't, because, you know, it's their own fault, basically. But again, I guess it goes back to that coachability and, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about some of the things, you said that there are things that a lot of people just don't want to do the work. And what might be some of those things that people tend to turn away from and choose not to do that could help them become more successful?
Well, I think with our leads groups, basically, it's, you know, doing the work. You know, people join, they pay their money, and they take it like an ATM card. You know, you put your ATM card in and it starts spitting out money. You know, that's not how life works. You know, yeah, you go to work, you get paid, you come home with a paycheck. But as an entrepreneur, if you don't do the things you need to do, then you're not going to get paid. And so if they're not doing the one-on-ones, they're not getting to know. We hear that a lot, where somebody comes into a leads group and they just expect people to give them leads, to give them money. And they say, well, I'm not going to give you a lead until I get to know you and I can trust you. And so that never happens. And so when they leave and they get upset and they leave, well, geez, you know, if you would have done the work, or if you would have maybe, again, waited longer, a little bit longer, but they get comfortable with you, or until they find a lead, you know, then you would have been successful. But, you know, you didn't want to do that, or you quit. And so, sorry, you know, you don't get the rewards of that then.
Mm-hmm. And what are some things that you do as the leader of I Take the Lead to help coach people along in their business and help them to stay the course?
Well, we've got a lot of different things. We try to set up mentors for people. We have people who have been there, done that. You know, we have some webinars set up that Becky has done, you know, with some successful people on different fronts, like an insurance agent or somebody who has failed. And then this is why they're not failing now, is because these are the things that they've done. Individual coaching, you know, if they have any questions or maybe it's not working, they can always contact us and we can coach them through it. You know, the speed networking events that we do, because that gives them an opportunity to get out and meet people and expand their horizons. The mixers that we have allows people to get together on a kind of a friendship type basis or an informal basis and get to know each other better. So we feel like we're building community that way and getting people mixing and mingling. And so it kind of ramps it up a little bit, you know, and gives them more opportunities to where, oh, I'm just in my leads group. That's one thing. But I get out and meet other people that way, then that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of things I heard in that. One was being able to make connections and build stronger connections so that you're not just there, hello, bye, I want your business, thank you, but you're really taking the time or giving them the opportunity to take the time to really get to know each other and really connect with each other. And that makes a big difference in business.
Sure it does, yeah. People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. And if they don't get mm-hmm. to know you or like you or trust you, then, you know, it makes it a lot harder.
Uh-huh, definitely. And then the other thing I heard was providing opportunities for connecting with people who've, as you said, been there and done that, providing opportunities and stories of people who have been through struggles and overcome the roadblocks. And so with that being said, what are some roadblocks that you've had to overcome as you've built this organization?
Well, I think the key one is, as we continue to build groups, it's allowing the group members to take over the groups and not, you know, extend ourselves out too far, because, you know, if there's too much, then it can fail because the groups say, oh, well, you're not coming out here and helping us, you know, so you want to get them taking ownership and owning the groups so that you can go somewhere else and start another group and not feel like the group will fail or not, you know, it could still fail, but hopefully it won't. And continue to expand the organization that way, I think.
Mm-hmm. And have you had times when that was just very difficult or wasn't where you wanted it to be, and maybe times when you felt like giving up?
Oh, sure, of course, yeah. Yeah, it's always the case. I think, and we probably have more codependent people simply because of the nature of our organization, where with larger organizations, with larger groups, if they don't have people who are, you know, type A personalities who start the groups, then the group doesn't exist. So you have somebody who, and they have to build their own groups anyway. So, you know, they're not getting the support that our people are getting. So, that also creates independence for them, you know, because they built the group. But we have smaller groups. We have people, I think, a little more codependent, a little more dependent on us than when the group. And so it's not a 30, 40-member group. It's maybe a 4, 5, 6, 10-member group. You know, it's easier for the group to fail because if a couple of people drop out, then it's, you know, it's that much smaller. So it goes from 8 to 6 or 6 to 4 people. You know, it's a lot different from going to 30 to even 25 members, you know, so it's a different dynamics, really.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Oh, it does make sense. Definitely the smaller numbers, you feel that hit or that loss a lot
right. Deeper
than you do in a larger group. Certainly. I also understand that I Take the Lead also has another maybe arm, if you will, with a charitable organization. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah, yes.
Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We started it several years ago. Rotary does a food drive every year, and we call it Lead with Heart. And so we were collecting food for families in need. We were doing it at Christmas. We're going to do it at Christmas, but it seems like in Thanksgiving, there's a lot of things going on. So we moved it over to Valentine's Day, and that's why we called it Lead with Heart, because of Valentine's Day. And also people need to eat other times of the year besides Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we did that for a few years, and then we created a golf tournament. We had a person, Steve Lysak, who owns his own golf course. And so we put together a committee, and next year will be our 10th annual golf tournament, which will be fun next August. And so we do that. That's definitely our signature, because, you know, raising $7,000 or $8,000 a year for local charities is pretty amazing. But we do it on a smaller scale in Seattle and other places. We where we'll pass an envelope around at the groups, and people will put a dollar, two or three in the envelope, or 10 or 20, whatever they want to do, in the envelope each week. And we use it to buy food for families in need. Last summer we did it in Washington. We only did it for a few weeks, about a month, and we raised some money to buy peanut butter for Rotary, so they could send the peanut butter home with the kids, and so they'd have food during the summer. And then in Colorado, we did, it's called Supper with Santa, and it's one of our members, when he adopted his 8-year-old son, who was in the foster care system, he found out he had never experienced Christmas, which was really heartbreaking to find an 8-year-old child who had never experienced Christmas. So he realized that's fairly common with foster kids, so he created Christmas for those kids. So we were able to dovetail that, pass the envelope, just a simple envelope around at all the meetings, collect a little bit of money. And so last year we raised over $500 for his program, and 100% of his money goes to the kids. Most of these 100% of the money goes to the kids and to the organization. So felt like it was very expedient in nature and helpful. So, and I think people appreciate that they can put a dollar or two or five into an envelope and feel like it makes a difference. Where, you know, if you drop it in the Salvation Army bucket, or you're watching TV late at night and they say, hey, give us $5, $10, or $50. You know, that money's going for TV advertising, it's going for the CEO's six-figure income and a bunch of other stuff, really, rather than helping the place where it's supposed to go. So with this, people feel like they're getting bang for their buck, really. They feel like it's worthwhile. And again, contributing $5 or $10 is significant, you know. Like, you know, a lot of places it's like a drop in the ocean. It really doesn't make a difference, but just people feel like these things do. So it's kind of nice.
Definitely. And I love that you do this as part of I Take the Lead. And being a business owner myself and a business coach with an emphasis in leadership, I really believe in the value of adding value to other people and getting out in the community and making a difference in the community. And it just really is magical, because it does something for yourself as well as for those that you help. When we do something incredible, something helpful for somebody else, it just comes back to us 100-fold. You know, we feel better about ourselves, so it builds our confidence, and it also helps get your name out into the community so people know who you are and they recognize you. And when they need the services that you have to offer, guess who they're going to go to? They're going to go to the person they, like you said, know, like, and trust, right?
Exactly, right.
So what a great opportunity. And that's something that I'm familiar with many different types of leads group, and that's just something that I've not heard of with another leads group.
Well, thanks. I'm not aware of anybody else who does. I think it's too difficult a lot of times, because if you have a leads group organization that, say, it has tens of thousands of leads groups, it's hard to get something like that organized. So we really want to keep it simple. That's one of our main philosophies, is keep it simple. And, you know, again, passing an envelope around. Obviously, the golf tournament is a lot more complex because, you know, it takes a lot of work. But it's a committee effort and everything, which is fantastic. But, you know, the nice thing about it, it's not real difficult to be able to pass, you know, an envelope around the groups and then collect the money and go with it. So that's the cool part about it. It's very easy.
Yeah, great. Well, definitely, it sounds like there are definitely a lot of opportunities that you provide for businesses to get out there, to make connections, and to really grow their businesses. I think that's wonderful.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So is there anything else that you would like to share with us before we finish up tonight?
I think just the main thing is, keep going. That's the biggest thing is be persistent and don't quit, That really has a lot of merit to it,
Uh-huh. It certainly does. Great. All right. Well, thank you, Gene, for all of that information and for those wonderful tips that you've shared.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at Catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.